Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
Sarah Cazell is here to guide us through Social Studies once again. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, how we doing, fellas?
Doing peachy keen.
Peachy keen?
Whoa. Yeah.
What decade did I just step into?
Yes, the 50s. I tell you what, I think Social Studies is the bee's knees. It's the cat's pajamas.
I really like the cat's pajamas. Underused.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Good name for a band, too.
Do you ever wish, any of you, that specifically lived in a different decade? Let's say, grew up your teenage in 20s.
Yeah, Jared, I've always wanted to live in the medieval ages. Yeah.
I always wanted to have pancakes in the Age of Enlightenment. Anybody get that reference?
Nope.
No?
What is that?
I like pancakes.
Sounds familiar.
Swingers.
No. No, why do you ask, Jared?
The way Hollywood depicts the 50s, it seems like a very pleasant, like, stress-free time to be a human being
in this
people. Country.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be happy in any decade, though, so.
Well, that's important to know about yourself.
I think it'd be fun to visit other times in history, but I wouldn't want to live in any other time.
Yeah. I feel like I'm reliving the decade I grew up in now because early 90s fashion is fully back in style, and it looks just as bad as I remember it.
Is that early 90s fashion? Is
yes.
that why you have that plaid shirt around your waist? And
no, not the grunge. It's like the chunky white sneakers that are massive and like the brown lipstick. And
brown lipstick?
Yeah.
That's a terrible name for a band.
I'm trying to think what else. Like the little ribbed mini crop tops that are spaghetti straps and it's just flattering on very, very few people. Yeah, so I feel like I'm reliving those days right now.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I just choose to be unfashionable. That's all right. Let's get into social studies, everybody. Earlier in the show, you guys were talking about the highlights of Patrick Peterson's letter that went up on the Players Tribune. If you haven't seen it yet, we have it linked right now on arizonasports.com. So that led to a discussion where you rank Patrick Peterson on your list of all-time Arizona Cardinals specifically, just Arizona. Behind Larry Fitzgerald, who do you believe is the second greatest Arizona Cardinal of all time? There are four names listed here, but of course, if somebody else comes to mind, drop him in there as well. Second greatest Arizona Cardinal of all time, Patrick Peterson, Kurt Warner, Aeneas Williams, or Adrian Wilson?
I'm voting Kurt Warner. Then he voted Aeneas Williams.
Yeah, but now I see the order and presented like this, I'm having second thoughts.
Are
I'm
you?
Sticking with Aeneas, but...
What are your second thoughts?
Kurt Warner was pretty influential.
You think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the breaking news sounder, Jerry.
You had a decent run here.
He was pretty yeah. good.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with Aeneas, though.
Okay. I guess we shouldn't be too surprised. The fans voted for Kurt Warner. 41% of the vote going to the quarterback. 29% went with Aeneas Williams. 23% said Adrian Wilson. 7% said Patrick Peterson. Plenty of other names that are dropped in there, but not really any consensus names. So moving on to our next question. The Suns, they beat the Milwaukee Bucks in overtime last night. A playoff caliber win for the Suns, might I say. Now, the Suns will win the NBA championship this year if fill in the blank.
If they win four games in the final series.
Oh, no. Okay.
What, am I wrong?
No.
Come on.
I would just say if they remain healthy to a man, that's my single biggest
okay.
concern.
Okay. It is apparent. I mean, we got a ton of replies, but it is, man, I don't know, 90% of them maybe saying if the Lakers are not at full strength. So not even talking about the Suns, but talking about somebody else's health. LeBron and DA or AD listed specifically. Speaking of DA, one response is the Suns will win the NBA championship this year if DeAndre Ayton averages 25 points in the playoffs. A lot of people saying if DA plays the way he has been lately. Nathan says the Suns will win the title if they continue to win 2 out of every 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Randy Miller says the Suns will win if they don't face any sub-500 teams in the playoffs. Which, Randy has a point.
Yeah.
He has a point.
If they win the first game of each series, they will win the championship because they never lose 2 games in a row.
Okay, so they just got to get that first one in.
Yep.
Okay. C. Bacher, 44, says, if the Suns avoid major injuries and the bench continues to have its impact. Michael Clyde says, the Nets and the Lakers, if they implode with injury. Yeah. Most people just said the Lakers, but Michael mentions the Nets as well.
Not a whole lot of Clippers respect there.
Nope.
I'm worried about the Clippers.
Okay. Lakers top worry and then Clippers second tier worry for you?
I didn't answer this question because I'm not... I don't have a scenario where they win right now. I'm not saying that they can't develop one, but...
Yeah, that's totally fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Matthew Van Hoos says if the Suns continue to play with the grit and confidence they play with against the top teams and not play like they do against the worst teams. And then this... I don't even want to plant this idea, but it maybe has already occurred to him. Blake Bottle says the Suns will win the NBA championship if Jarrett keeps growing out his good luck hair.
Oh, don't encourage him. Oh. Please don't encourage him.
Who has that been good luck for?
Yeah.
Not for me.
The creature's living in your nest.
Oh.
Very fortuitous for them.
Oh,
one thing to watch for is the Lakers are now only 2 games out of 6th place. If we get a Lakers-Clippers first-round matchup 6-3, makes the path so much easier.
How about all our bad luck just disappears this year and you get Mavericks in round 1, Blazers in round 2, Jazz in the Western Conference Finals, and the Bucks in the NBA
New York Knicks in the finals. Yeah.
Avoid both the LA teams the whole way.
Exactly.
Yeah. More likely, it's going to have to be going down a path of the greatest hits of history. Spurs in the first round, Lakers in the second round, the Steve Nash and the Nets in the final, stuff like that.
Ugh. Yeah.
No easy buckets, no easy wins. All right, moving on to our final question. Chris Paul, he passed Magic Johnson in career assists last night. He now sits 5th all-time with 10,145 career dishes. 189 back of 4th on that list, behind Mark Jackson. So we're asking, of these 4 options, but as always, fill in the blank if it's not there, what is the greatest song of all time with the word magic in the title in honor of Chris Paul passing Magic Johnson? Is it Black Magic Woman, Magic Carpet Ride, Puff the Magic Dragon, happy 420 everyone, by the way, or Magic Bus?
Out of those 4, I would vote...
What's Magic Bus?
Like Magic
from the Who.
Bus.
Oh yeah, forgot about that song. I would vote
Jarrett came up with this list.
Either Magic Carpet Ride or Black Magic Woman out of that.
No 24 Karat Magic by Bruno Mars.
Oh, that's
How's that
I would have voted for that one.
I think Magic Man by Heart was the most popular.
A good one.
Wait,
too.
Where
that's
was this? I know. I probably would vote for that one.
I wanted to put every little thing she does is magic, but I couldn't fit that in the poll.
Yeah.
No, Jarrett just wrote this question by flipping through his own 8-track collection.
So of the 4 options listed here, Black Magic Woman won out with 38% of the vote, followed by 34% for Magic Carpet Ride, 21% for Puff the Magic Dragon, and 8% for Magic Bus. But like I said, Magic Man by Heart got a ton of write-ins.
Yeah.
24 Karat Magic by Bruno Mars got mentioned. Magical Mystery Tour by the Beatles. Every Little Thing She Does is Magic by the Police. And This Magic Moment, I guess a couple different bands did it.
This Magic Moment.
Yes.
Love and also the theme song from the Magic School Bus cartoon.
Oh, yes, that's right.
How did you forget that?
Yeah,
I've always hated
Frizzle.
The song Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah.
Even when I was a kid, I hated that
song.
It's about a dragon.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
He frolicked in the
autumn mist in a land called Hanalei.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I guess.
Good for him.
Now that I've said those lyrics, I feel so relaxed, man. You know?
Whoa.
There are also some other good submissions that I just don't think I should read on the air. So if you want to follow us on Twitter at @Bickley_Murata, scroll through the responses, you'll see a couple others that are not appropriate.
Gambo's undoubtedly voting for You Can Do Magic by America.
This is like a very Gambo-heavy list, I think.
It is.
Yeah, I think so.
Nobody's writing songs about magic anymore.
Where has the magic gone?
Oh, man.
All right, there we go. There's social studies every day, 1 o'clock, hosted by Sarah Cazell. You can get involved in the festivities by following us on Twitter at @Bickley_Murata. It is Bickley and Murata, coming to you live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Doing a little bit more digging on what we brought up earlier, the Twitter exchange between Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes earlier today.
Yeah.
This is the actual origin of what happened today. So let's catch you up to speed. This goes back to February 3rd, courtesy of Rays outfielder Brett Phillips.
What's up, Salvi? It's Brett Phillips here at Super Bowl 55 in my Tom Brady jersey. Man, I know we were teammates. And I'm a big fan of Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City, but, man, this is my hometown right here. And first of all, I'm looking for a good game. But second of all, I want to bet you, Salvi, that when the Tampa Bay wins and we come into Kansas City next year, you're going to be wearing a Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey during batting practice. If Kansas City wins, I'll have a Kansas City jersey on, and it'll be some good fun. Good luck to your Kansas City Chiefs. And we'll see you there Sunday, Super Bowl 55. Let's go, Bucks! Raise those flags!
All right, so we know what happened.
There you
go. The Bucks win the Super Bowl. Guess what? First game of the series, first meeting of the year between the Rays and the Royals took place in Kansas City yesterday. Rays won 4-1. So that's where you see the video of Salvador Perez wearing the Tom Brady jersey during batting practice. And even in defiance, he says Patrick Mahomes is still the best.
Right.
To which the Royals said, sometimes words speak more than actions.
Right.
And Tom Brady responds, no, I think it's always actions speak louder than words.
Right. So Tom Brady inserted himself into this to kind of remind people, hey, look at my rings again and then tell me what you think.
Mm-hmm.
And then that opened the door for Patrick Mahomes to get in. And he basically said, let's wait 20 years and see where this argument is. To me, it's fascinating. Because you've got a young guy who has won one Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
like Aaron Rodgers and like Russell Wilson, but he's already been called by some the greatest of all time. There were people, quite literally, who said when Patrick Mahomes wins this Super Bowl against Tampa, he could retire and go into the Hall of Fame. 4 years into his career.
Yeah.
A little bit premature.
Yeah. I remember... In preparation for the Super Bowl, that became the topic. Somebody, I forget who said it. Man, it slipped me. Maybe you remember. They made the statement, the only way Patrick Mahomes will ever catch Tom Brady is to win this Super Bowl head-to-head.
That's right.
He'll be at 2,
yep.
And the gap will be 4 at that
mm-hmm.
point. And I scoffed at that originally, and you kind of resisted on that and said, well, yeah, that makes sense. I'm always a victim of not appreciating what's happening as it's going on. So I just didn't even consider, okay, Brady wins this Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that was possible, first of all. But he would have a 7-1 advantage at that point.
Yeah.
You know how insurmountable that is for any quarterback moving forward?
And I think, and I've said this before, and I think it manifested itself again today in this Twitter exchange. Tom Brady getting to 7 rings has really created this weird energy inside the NFL from guys who are realizing, I'm never going to catch that dude. Guys who believe they're better than Tom Brady, but will never have the jewelry to prove it. And I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers, who's been very agitated with the Packers. Russell Wilson, who's made it very clear he's blaming the Seahawks for not being down less than 7-1 to Tom Brady himself, and now Patrick Mahomes, who's got nothing but his future ahead of him,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like, and again, you have to ask yourself, is Patrick Mahomes really going to play long enough to even accumulate that many rings? Is anybody? I don't see it.
The other thing is, like, only one quarterback in the entire NFL even has more than one Super Bowl right now. It's Ben Roethlisberger has 2, and he's 100 years old.
He's 100 years old.
So it's
He's only 95.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. but, I mean, it's so impossible to think of any of these guys. You could just, you know, write off some. You could write off Aaron Rodgers because he's not going to, even if he wins one or two more, that's mm-hmm. the most possible he could do. Russell Wilson, you could probably write off, even though he's not as old as, you know, Roethlisberger or Rodgers. To win six more means that he has to play at least six more years at an elite level.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think here's what I think has happened here. When Tom Brady was winning all those rings in New England, okay, there was this debate. Is it X percent Belichick, X percent Brady? Can you separate one from the other? I think these other quarterbacks in Tom Brady's rearview mirror were cool with everything because nobody was unanimously. There was always that "yeah, but" attached to Tom Brady and the greatest of all time moniker.
Mm-hmm.
When he went and did what he did in Tampa, there's no more "yeah, buts," and I think that's what's blown people's minds because now there's like there's no asterisk attached to Brady. Bill Belichick is the guy that now has to come up with some sort of answer. Otherwise, people are going to go, "Oh, that quarterback was carrying you the whole time. Is that how it was?" And then you've got these other guys now who are just like, how can any of them present a case better than Tom Brady can present?
And here's the other thing. Also, Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes now have lost in the Super Bowl head-to-head to Tom Brady.
Yeah, that too.
Bigger gap. Patrick Mahomes did an interview with The Athletic too, and he talked about just the subject of improving. Quote, "There are so many different things I can improve in my game. Being able to kind of restart and start from the injury with the feet, I can really improve my footwork. I've dealt with ankle injuries in my career, and being able to teach myself how to hit the right spots with my feet, teaching myself how to get back from this injury will help me out in the long run." I've seen Patrick Mahomes look human like mm-hmm. maybe twice in his NFL career. One of them was in the Super Bowl where he was just getting the everything beat out of him mm-hmm. by the Bucks at the end of the game. I actually feared for Patrick Mahomes' safety at the end of that game because he was getting no protection at all. But to his credit, he was a gamer and put it out there. But when I hear that, when you think, okay, how much room does he have to improve? And then you consider, remember Tyreek Hill's comments? What did you think of Patrick Mahomes when you first saw him? And he's like, "I thought he was trash."
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So he's already improved from that point mm-hmm. to become, most people would agree, the elite quarterback in terms of gameplay right mm-hmm. now in the league.
Yes.
But that sheer thought of he can get better than he is now, maybe that's the great equalizer. Now, obviously, it's still a team game. You still have to have an offensive line to protect you. You still have to have a defense that can hold opponents out of the end zone. But mm-hmm. it's not a foregone conclusion, but
no.
It's still a very, very tall mountain to climb.
Yeah. No, that's and I think the reality is these Super Bowls are incredibly hard to win for everybody except Tom Brady. That's what it's come down to.
Yeah. Unless he's playing an NFC East team.
They should just pass a rule where Brady has, as somebody suggested this, Brady has to go to a different team every year. You want to keep playing, you got to play for a different team.
Well, yeah.
Let's see how great you really are.
And then you wonder, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer based on the fact that he beat him twice in Super Bowls?
I support Eli's Hall of Fame candidacy.
So do I. Why not?
Because outside of those two Super Bowl runs, he never won a playoff game.
Yeah, he's a 500
which
quarterback.
Which is an amazing stat.
It's unbelievable. He really is.
And what were the 2-point spreads in those Super Bowls?
Oh, I don't know. 12 and a half.
Tremendous underdogs.
Yeah, tremendous underdogs.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, Suns get a big win over the Milwaukee Bucks last night. Can they continue it on this tough Eastern road trip? We'll explore the possibilities next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports poll question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford poll question. On the homepage at ArizonaSports.com, what is the Suns' best win of the season thus far? Was it February 13th in Phoenix against Philadelphia? Was it March 2nd at the Lakers? Was it April 7th home against the Jazz?
That's the one.
Or last night's overtime victory over the Milwaukee Bucks?
I vote C.
I'm going Jazz 2. Jazz 1, Bucks 2, Sixers 3 would be my
pecking order. That's the order.
Right now, the Jazz game, 49% say that's the best. 38% went with last night's win. 6% said March 2nd at the Lakers. 4% said other, and only 3% went with Philadelphia. The Philadelphia win February 13th in Phoenix.
Hard to remember that one specifically.
I remember that was number one on my list for quite some time. It was a really entertaining game. Suns won by 9. And Philadelphia had pretty close to a full complement of players. Harris, Embiid, Simmons all played in that game. And Embiid scored 35 points, and they still won. Devin Booker went off for 36 in that game. But there you go. That is today's poll question, Sanderson Ford poll question. You can find it and vote on it right now on the homepage at arizonasports.com. The last two-minute report is out, by the way, from last night's game.
Yeah.
And the most interesting thing about it to me, well, there's two. First, that timeout that was granted.
Yeah.
That was the incorrect call, according to the two-minute report. It says Milwaukee signals for a timeout while neither team is in possession of the ball. They are granted the timeout. So the crazy response by the Suns players was warranted and justified.
Yeah, that was not a good call. Thankfully, it did not affect them and affect the outcome of the game.
The other one was the foul call that Milwaukee was bellyaching about, the foul on P.J. Tucker that sent Devin Booker to the line with 0.3 seconds. That was deemed the correct call by the last two-minute report. Tucker makes elbow-to-elbow contact with Booker during his shooting motion, and contact affects his jump shot attempt.
Yeah, and so there you go. So a couple things about it that I think were important. Number one, this was a moment where Devin Booker got a call, and I think you could tell when he got the whistle, it's like, yeah, it's about time, man, cool. And I think that'll hopefully will go a long way to pacifying him and his belief that he doesn't get those calls. Because there have been cases when he hasn't. We saw one famously where he was fouled on a 3-point shot at the end of the game and it was not called.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. So you take that and you go away, you walk away with that and say, okay, we've lived the other side of that. So now we're square. And I think the other side of this would be DeAndre Ayton and how he held up against Giannis. Now, I've shared my thoughts on this. I thought towards the end of the game offensively that DA was starting to drift a little bit. I think the stretch of basketball has been very difficult for him. Yet he really manned up playing defense against Giannis to the point where Giannis committed an unforced error, tripping over his own feet and falling down on a game-winning possession.
Yeah. Let's get deeper into that.
All right.
After we do this.
Here we go. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. The Arizona Sports Signing Bonus.
It's time for the Arizona Sports Signing Bonus. And today we are looking for you, Jennifer Anaya of Glendale. Jennifer's got 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870. And she gets a $500 signing bonus. We call out three names per day. So all you got to do, if you didn't hear your name this time, you could still get into the fun. Just text the word bonus to 620-620 and listen for your name. We'll call one out every day at 1:35. The next time you have an opportunity is 3:35 this afternoon with Burns and Gambo. But the clock is running on Jennifer Anaya from Glendale. You have 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870 to claim your Arizona Sports signing bonus.
Giannis on the dribble, 14 on the shot clock. He has it in between the circles. Ayton's given him about 15 feet of space. Giannis still on the dribble, down to 6 to shoot. Right-hand dribble beyond the arc. Starts to penetrate. He fell to the floor. Lost his footing. No call. Should be a travel. Finally a whistle. And
you can't
give
call
the Bucks
timeout.
A timeout.
You can't give him a timeout. The ball was loose.
Giannis Antetokounmpo on the dribble drive fell to the floor with the ball in his hands, and they did not whistle a travel. They instead give the Bucks a timeout with 1 second on the shot clock. Chris Paul is beside himself. So is Monty Williams. Not only did he fall with the dribble, he rolled on the floor with the ball. Oh, well, I can't even explain it.
So just this year against the Phoenix Suns, let's consider the plight of Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, let's do it.
Settled for a jump shot in a game-winning situation in the game in Phoenix.
And it was kind of mocked by Devin Booker for doing so.
Devin Booker said, hey, what were you looking for on that last possession defensively? He said, we were looking for Giannis to take a jump shot, so he played into his hands. Last night, in a tie game situation, you just heard it right there, an ISO. He gets tangled up in his own feet, maybe due to the defense of DeAndre Ayton. Loses the basketball. Should have been a loose ball. Should have been the expiration of time there, as we covered with the last two-minute report confirming that. And then, I thought even, nobody talked about this. The play where Giannis made the defensive play, I thought he pinned the ball against the glass to come up with the block shot. And then he's dribbling up court, and that's when he cramped up. So then he leaves for the final four-plus minutes of overtime with a cramp. I'm not a Milwaukee Bucks fan, and I know he is an unbelievable talent and a two-time defending MVP. But just considering his performance in late-game situations against the Phoenix Suns, I'm highly disappointed in Giannis if I'm a Bucks fan.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And it's DA was practically daring him to shoot another jump shot. Because as Bloomer said, he was 15 feet off of him, and he didn't, and he didn't know what to do, and that was really revealing to me. And then the missing the last 4 minutes in overtime with a cramp.
Yeah,
I get you have to go out for a minute, but eat a banana or something. That's what tennis players
get
do.
Some potassium golfers going. Too, so. Yeah,
they always said like these players that are dominant regular season players, like, can you win a championship with these guys who are not great shooters? Giannis, Russell Westbrook, Ben Simmons, like these guys, if they're you know, your best or second best player at the end of games in big games, can you win? And they have fizzled out in the playoffs, those kind of players.
Yeah, listen, it's Giannis is an incredibly physical force around the basket. He will take the ball in the post and dunk on your head. But you give him the ball at the top of the key and say, go create something special and win this game, he's not good at it. And this is why, even before these two games we're talking about, there was a distinct feeling that Giannis is going to not be an MVP candidate again until he wins something. A championship, gets to the finals, does something big on big stages. Because that's a level he hasn't proven yet.
And that'll be a two-year process because they vote on the MVP before the end of the finals. So
yeah, right, true.
It's good, but right. 2 years. I don't think he's an MVP candidate this year.
No.
But you know, on the Suns side of the ledger, a really good bounce back after just an awful performance against San Antonio, which planted a seed of doubt in a lot of people's minds about their real legitimate chances. And they go back, they come back, and they beat one of the top teams in the East on their home floor. And fighting from down to do it late in the game. Here's Monty Williams.
I knew this about our team, but how do I say it? It's just good to see it played out in front of everybody else. I've seen, I think we talked about it in pregame, you know, how tight they are, how much they want to win and play for each other. And we saw that tonight. Like, the schemes at times didn't always work. The plays didn't always work, but our guys just made plays for each other. And, you know, we have a ways to go. We all understand that. And we're just focused on our next practice, which is tomorrow. That's all we're focused on. We have a do the next right thing mentality with this team. Reps removed out. We're a work team, and we're going to stick to that. That's the only way I know how to operate. And I hope our guys expect that from me and implement it themselves.
Yeah, and the Suns just continue to win on the road. I mean, they lost their last road game before this trip started against the Clippers, but still the best record in the NBA on the road, which is a nice thing to have in your back pocket when you're facing a trip as potentially daunting as this one. Really a perfect response to that game on Saturday.
Yeah. Yes. Listen, so when you're looking at what's ahead of the Suns now, you've got back-to-backs Wednesday and Thursday. You've got Philadelphia and Boston, two very, very tough teams. We had a discussion earlier that if you go and beat Philadelphia tomorrow, do you go, okay, we're off to such a good start that this is the time that we tell Chris Paul to take a seat? Just sit this one out. We'll roll without you. We might win. We might not. You brought up a really good point that they probably won't do this because Chris Paul doesn't want to do it. And there would be some danger in... And I don't know. It just doesn't feel like the appropriate thing to do if you're going after the number one seed.
I just feel like Chris Paul and this, and maybe this coaching staff feels the same way. Sit me to get rest when we're closer to the playoffs and we got something locked up.
Right. Not now. Yeah.
Not now.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think
that's probably the smart thing to do.
Or if Chris Paul, or if you present it like I said earlier, if you're Monty Williams, hey Chris, you know, you played 38 minutes. Now, we know we want to beat Philadelphia, mm-hmm. but that Boston game, let me know if you want to tap out. I don't think he would, but at least present it.
Yeah.
You know? That way you have got the best interest of the player, at least.
It's a good way of putting it.
At the front of mind. Anything from Jennifer and Anaya?
No. 2 minutes, Jennifer.
Two minutes remaining. Two minutes.
Jennifer and Anaya.
Coming up or next, Anaya. Another bold, maybe I said it wrong, Anaya, A-N-A-Y-A.
That's Anaya.
Anaya.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
You know, I pride myself in pronunciation.
Of course you
do. Come on.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Coming up, another bold mock draft projection for the Arizona Cardinals and more. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata. Song of the day.
For one, would like to thank Monty Williams and the Phoenix Suns for giving us an opportunity to play a Depeche Mode song for
the day. I like
most
Depeche
of the time.
Mode.
The reason is just because I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this song is called "Everything Counts," as you'll hear in a second. Should have had you cue it up differently.
After all, it's a competitive world.
Where did they say it?
Right there, when you talked.
Yeah, there you go. Good job, Jarrett.
I'm no DJ.
This from Monty Williams after yesterday's game, talking about Langston Galloway on the bench picking up a teammate.
Yeah, I mean, we have a saying, everything counts.
Everything counts in large amounts. There you go. There's at least a snippet of today's song of the day.
Bickley and Murata, your daily dose of Vinny Joe trivia.
All right, we talked about it yesterday in terms of the NFL draft because in our ultimate mock draft, I made the selection yesterday for the Atlanta Falcons at number 4, and I went Kyle Pitts, the tight end of Florida,
mm-hmm.
which would make him the highest drafted tight end in the history of the NFL draft, beating out
Ditka.
So your Vinny Joe trivia question today, this is a tough one. Since we were talking about tight ends in the draft yesterday, the Arizona Cardinals have not selected a tight end in the first round. They have selected two tight ends as high as the second round. Name one of those two tight ends.
The Arizona Cardinals or the Cardinals?
Just the Arizona Cardinals since 88. Told you it was tough.
Wow.
Let me know if you want a hint.
Yeah, I'll take a hint.
Your hint, Dan Bickley, is nice kid, awkward interview subject.
Oh, Troy Nicholas. Troy Nicholas.
Wow. Good clue.
Yeah, that was good. Well, he just had this goofy grin on his face the whole time.
Honestly, we interviewed him a lot.
Yeah. Sweet kid.
And it was always like, wow, he's such a nice, he's like a child in a gigantic man's body.
Yeah.
But it just, yeah, it was always a little bit awkward.
Wow. That was a second-round draft pick?
Second-round pick. He was 52nd overall out of Notre Dame in 2014. The other one, by the way, which is the really hard one, Walter Reeves, selected by the Cardinals in 1989, second-round 40th overall out of Auburn. That's the highest-drafted tight ends they've ever had. And part of the reason why I asked that question, too, is because Peter Schrager of NFL Network last week in a mock draft had the Cardinals being bold, trading up into the top 10 to get Kyle Pitts.
Yep.
His latest mock draft, Peter Schrager, also has the Cardinals moving up boldly to number 7 in a trade with Detroit, not getting a tight end. In this scenario, they get Jalen Waddle, the wide receiver from Alabama. He writes, the Cardinals continue their uber-aggressive offseason by acquiring yet another weapon for Kyler Murray to help the franchise emerge from the gauntlet. That's the NFC West. Waddle, whose ankle has fully healed, is seen as tough as nails and an instant impact player, both wide receiver and on special teams. In the swap, the Lions end up with 16th overall, as well as the Cardinals' 2022 first and third rounder.
Huh.
A lot to move up 9 spots.
Yeah, it sure is.
We don't have any indication that the Cardinals are that in love with Jalen Waddle, but it would be an exciting, splashy pick.
Unlikely.
Kyle Pitts is off the board in this scenario.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, all of the corner, if they moved up to 7, all the corners would be there in this projection.
Hmm.
Just something to think about.
Okay.
Did you see the history made last night in the National Hockey League, Beck?
Is that Patrick Marleau?
Yes.
Okay.
Breaking the record of Gordie Howe for most games played.
Wow.
What's the number here? 1,768 games, most of them in a San Jose Sharks jersey. Not all of them, but he went back to the Sharks this year. Normally, I mean, I think this is the extreme longevity award. I remember as a kid looking at hockey record books, and nobody's going to play in that many games. Nobody's going to ever beat Gordie Howe in games played. He did it, and he's still going strong.
The Gordie Howe thing, though, is because he, like, retired and came back a couple times.
Yes.
And, like, he played when he was really old, so it seems like he played even longer than he played, if that makes sense.
But he could have played in even more games, because he played in 419 games in the World Hockey Association.
That was something.
Yeah, he wore the Whalers jersey.
Yes.
That was something we missed with the things named after people, the Gordie Howe hat trick.
That is true.
A goal, assist, and a fight in a game.
So Gordie Howe walked away from the NHL at age 42 in 1971 and then played 6 full seasons in the WHA and then came back when Hartford moved to the NHL and played 80 more games. I mean, he could have really had a monopoly on that record, but they don't count the WHA record. Still,
props to
kudos
Patrick
to you, to Patrick Marleau, for breaking that record.
No doubt.
Pretty impressive longevity right there. All right, that's going to do it for us on this Tuesday. Thanks to Dane Brugler for joining us. Vic is pumped.
No, it was a good show. I'm good. I'm happy.
It was a good show. Let's have another one tomorrow.
Let's do it, man.
Thanks to Dane Brugler of The Athletic for joining us. As always, thanks to you for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. Burns and Gambo are up next here, 2 to 6 on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Have a great day, everybody.